Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Synergy, what a great word. I love to say it, synergy. Yeah, what is that? Well, if you look it up in a dictionary, you'll see the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Yeah. The total is worth more than the sum of its parts. We don't add to each other. We empower each other. Okay, so let's just think about that logistically. If someone on a scale of 1 to 10, someone is a 3, someone is a 6, someone is an 8. If they come together, well, 3 plus 6 plus 8, that's 17. Okay, well, but you know what? We don't add to each other. What's 3 times 6? Times 8. Well, that's 144. That's a lot more than 18, isn't it? Well, I'm just a 2. I'm gonna multiply you guys. That's 288. No, we empower each other. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Exponentially, what's 144 to the second power? 20,736. I'm just a 2. But you know what? If you're empowering a group, you are making them exponentially more than what they are, what they were before you joined the group. Okay, so think about that kind of responsibility. Do you believe that your power comes with a responsibility? You actually have to care about the people that you are with because you are going to have a huge impact and an influence on them. I love to say this to people. There's no neutral energy. It's either positive or negative. Yeah. Well, that's responsibility. But what about accountability? Let's take it a step further, ladies and gentlemen. Who do you believe you're accountable to? If you're responsible for your behavior, how do you truly render an accounting for your behavior, for your choices, for your actions? If you're in a bad mood, you have negative energy, destructive thoughts, you could be harming the people that you're with if you're not aware of how you're affecting them in a good way or a bad way. Today, I'm going to be talking about the power that you have as an individual. You're responsible for the choices you make. Yeah, the impact that you create. The power that you have when you're with people, you don't even have to be interacting directly with them. Yeah, just doing something that you know is going to impact them. A lot of times right now, what we're doing is on our technology. Well, that's kind of a get out of jail free card, isn't it? Would you say and do the things in person that you say and do on your machine, on your electronic device? Well, think about it. How often do we say things on social media, right? Websites, without necessarily caring who's watching us, who's listening to us? That's a pretty big question. Well, more attention is good, right? Not necessarily if it's bad attention. When babies scream and cry, it's because they're desperate. They need to be noticed. They need to be taken care of. Okay. You know what? I have a lot of people that I've been speaking to in different social forums, and I've been talking to people on the street. I literally went into, let's see, what was it? Linwood and Everett and Marysville in the last few weeks, asking them opinion questions. And it was kind of surprising to me how when I first walked into a building, when I walked into a restaurant, an office, and I said to people, "Hi, I'm from BBS Radio and I'm asking people their opinion. Can I ask you a question for my survey?" How many of them were startled that I was speaking directly to them? They were kind of wondering, "I'm sorry, did I hear that right? You want to talk to me?" "Yeah, I want to know your opinion. And where are you from? Who are you with? What's your agenda? What's your angle?" I said, "I just want to know your opinion. Are you okay telling me your honest thoughts and feelings?" Some of them were, "Wow, yeah, I'm kind of excited that you want to know what I think. No one asks me what I think or how I feel." So I asked a few questions. Actually, I kind of alternated between the two different questions. The first one was about feminism and about women, the power that they have. Well, the people's response actually created two more additional questions. So it came down to, does feminism give women permission to behave in inappropriate ways that men can't behave in? Oh, okay. Does feminism give women permission to be mean, not only to men, but to each other? And do they use it as a get out of jail free card? Okay, well, that was my feminism question. The other one was about trust and respect. I actually started out, the question was with, can you respect a person that you don't trust? Okay, so I was going to give all the results of those survey questions in the beginning of the show. But you know what? I want to go ahead and pose that question to my listeners today. And I understand that because I'm in kind of a bad area, the reception goes in and out. So I want to also extend the opportunity for people to answer the question. Let's see, it looks like we might got this. Okay. My Gmail account, which is thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com, or you can call into the station at 888-627-6008. So my producer will be the one answering the phone, and he'll let me know if I have anybody who wants to contribute either to what I'm saying or ask me potentially a question about something that I've just said, or maybe express a thought or idea that what I've said has brought into their mind. Yeah, you know what? I never really thought about it that way. Please don't hesitate to reach out and share what you're thinking with everyone else who's listening. Okay, so what I basically want to tell people is the positive energy that you create is based on having good feelings inside. And I actually conducted a group on LinkedIn on Friday about how when you are in good quality emotional and mental state, you don't have to do as many quantity things. You don't have to do the frequency that you would otherwise. You can make sure that the things that you are doing are very high impact. But it has to be your true nature. You need to be in a good mood because you're doing what is the most pleasurable thing to you. Well, when I talk to my clients, I say, what brings you the most energy, the most positive happiness energy? Sometimes they say, I'm sorry, I don't understand the question. I say, okay, let's just go ahead and start with some basic questions. Now, I'm going to be talking about the dominant function of your personality. But you know what? I'm going to give you specific examples of what those activities are. Now, if you've listened to my shows in the past, you know that the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator Personality Profile System, yeah, there's a lot of terms there, but I'm going to make it very simple today. First, we're just going to talk about the different activities in daily life, right? What they qualify as. So I'm going to make it fun real quick as I go down the four different dichotomies. There are questions that I ask people since you can take a test. Yeah. And you can take a 2-hour test and pay $200 for it. And the more questions they ask, the more confusing it actually becomes. So let me explain just a real quick overview. The first dichotomy, the first letter of your personality is about your social energy. Are you an introvert or an extrovert? Now forget everything you've known before. Introvert does not mean socially retarded, and extrovert does not mean obnoxious. Okay. It just means you either get your energy when you're alone or you get your energy when you're with other people. So let me ask you some questions. Number one, who do you call your friend? An introvert would say, only very special people in my life. An extrovert would say, everyone I like and everyone who likes me. The more the merrier. The second question, do you only want special people at a special event, or is it the more the merrier? You know what? An extrovert wants as many people there as possible. An introvert would say only special people. The next question, how do you feel about being interrupted? An introvert would say, I can't stand it. I would never do that to someone else. An extrovert would say, yeah, I don't realize I'm doing it. And people do it to me all the time. That just means you got to turn up the volume. Right? I don't take it personally. Well, that begs the fourth question. How upsetting is it for you to have to yell in order to be heard? An introvert would say, no, I don't want to have to yell. I would rather stop and say, okay, can you turn down the volume? Or, you know what, if I have to continue to raise my voice in order to be heard, then I'd really, I'm not good with that. Maybe I should just leave the conversation. Okay, so based on these four questions, you know what's the most natural for you. But keep in mind, before we get to the other three letters of your personality, how much of what you're currently doing in your life is the real you? And that's what the group went to, kind of off topic, but then back again. And it just kept going back to what's natural for you. Have you given yourself a chance to learn that about yourself? Now, my husband comes from a very strong culture. Mexicans, they teach you how to behave and you must behave in that way. Well, okay, so try and peel away those other things that nurture might have smothered your nature. Okay, so the second letter of your personality is either S or N, sensory or intuitive. And the word intuitive, we've selected the letter N because I already went to introvert. So the first letter is either E or I. The second letter is S or N. Now, sensors, as a real quick overview, they like stimulation. We have five senses, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got a world around us stimulating all of them all at the same time. Well, we have an intuition. That's our internal world that processes all of the stimulation that our senses are providing. Yeah, we put the pieces together and we create complete thoughts and ideas and feelings, and we understand the meaning, the significance, the value, and the use of all of our sensory experiences. The question is, are you more focused on what's going on around you or what's going on inside of you? Let's ask some questions. Okay, you've got some food in front of you. You've never tried it. It looks kind of scary. It's really bad. Okay. Do you want to try it? Then you're probably sensory. If you're an intuitive, you would say, no, I know what I like and I like what I like. I'm going to go ahead and order the item on the menu that I know for sure will bring me pleasure. Okay. The second one is, how easily do you get lost? Well, you know what? A sensor, they're great in new places because they remember everything and they have a great sense of direction. An intuitive will have gone to the same place four or five times and they still are confused. What street am I on? They might even get lost in their backyard because they're not paying attention as much. Okay, how about the next question? When you're looking for something, how likely are you to have looked at it repeatedly and not seen it? That means you're an intuitive. Sensors, you know what? They see everything and they identify things like a puzzle. Okay, I just got to say this. I literally have to look at the picture with the piece and find out where it is. I say, I can't find this piece on the picture. Honey, where is it? My sensory husband. He goes, he will literally take the piece. He will glance at the picture and go, it's right there. Okay? The last part is, do you think about the long-term, big picture, or are you right here and now? And literally, or are you figurative? Intuitives, they're the figurative. You know what? The sensors, they're the literal and the tangible. The third letter, thinker or feeler, how do you make decisions? Are you logical and analytical? Then you're probably a thinker. Are you emotionally generous? Then you're a feeler. Okay, are you rational and calculating when you're goes to my goodness? Or are you empathetic? If you're more about being rational, then you're a thinker. If you're empathetic, then you're a feeler. And the last one, how do you carry out the decisions that you've made? Are you about structure and organization and planning? Then you're a J. If you're spontaneous and flexible and fly by the seat of your pants, then you're a P. You're a perceiver. J is judger. Here's some questions I ask. Do you like to make to-do lists? Yeah, well, if you're a J, you make sure you cross the items off. If you're a P, you've probably lost your list halfway through the day. Let me ask you another question. How important is it to you to stay on time? If you're a J, you would rather be 55 minutes early than 5 minutes late. If you're a P, hey, the party hasn't started until I've gotten there. All right, one last question before we go to our first break. Do you get more energy at the beginning of your project or when you're done? A J, if they don't finish their project, they go kind of crazy. Well, P will start maybe 4 or 5 in a day and forget which ones. Okay, so we're going to take a real quick break. And again, the number of this station is 888-627-6008. When we come back, we're going to get a little bit deeper into your personality. This is BBS Radio and the Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.
Want extra income or need to work from home? You can with Work Global with Aaliyah. No experience required. Work from anywhere in the world. Go to www.workglobalwithaaliyah.com. That's Work Global with Aaliyah, Aaliyah.com.
Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Okay, so let me go ahead and take a look if we've got any messages or questions. And again, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. And it looks like I've got one notification here. Okay, on LinkedIn, you can comment it. But if you're a little of both, here we go. I love you so much for asking. Okay, Robert. Yes, I'm listening this morning. What if you're a little bit of both? You know what? Everybody is a little bit of both. And that's exactly what I'm going to be getting into in this next segment. I always tell people that I'm coaching. What you do is your behavior. How you do it is your personality. Why you do it is your disposition. So the fact is, life has guaranteed that you are going to do everything. Yeah, that's going to make you successful and healthy and happy. What I tell people is, what comes easily to you? See, what are you really good at naturally? Okay. And what brings you pleasure? Naturally. Sometimes it takes a while for me to actually investigate, right? With my clients, I say, let's take away the culture. Let's take away your family of origin. Let's take away all the experiences that you've had, good and bad. I do kind of a stranded island test. And I say, if you were left alone, which one is, again, the easiest for you? So easy. It's like breathing. Which one are you naturally really good at? You didn't have to be taught how to do that. And which one brings you pleasure? Okay, so think about this. Now, if you want me to pose the questions again this morning, I absolutely will. Hold on, let me see the other one. If anyone else has posed a question on an email, again, that's thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. Okay. I don't see anyone with that yet. Okay, good. Okay, so what I'm going to be explaining next is the different levels of functionality. Now, again, my friend, my good friend Robert, keep this in mind. Different things that we do are going to be like breathing. They're so natural for us. It happens automatically. Some things are like eating. Yeah, it takes a little bit of effort, but it's very gratifying. Some things are like walking. It's not too hard, but you know what? It's really not that exciting in and of itself. You got to do other stuff. And some things are like running. It is tough and you don't want to do it for very long. And even if you're good at it, you can't do it for very long. Okay. So now they have words, there's terms for those four different levels. Okay. The first one that's like breathing, it's called your dominant function. The second level, it's like eating. That's your auxiliary function. The third level, it's like walking. That's called your tertiary function. And the last one, it's like running. That's called your inferior function. So again, keep in mind that it's regarding the two middle letters, the S and N or the T and F. You have to S things, you have to N things, you have to T things, and you have to F things. Sorry, no pun intended there. Okay, so you have to do them, but Two of them you're going to do in an introverted way, and two of them you're going to do in an extroverted way. Which ones do you do? Which ones do you do in which way? And which ones do you do most to best to least to worst? Yeah, we got to figure that out too. Now, without getting too confusing, just keep in mind again that this radio show is archived. You can replay it if you need to, because you might not have pen and paper, but I'm going to go real quickly through this. The last letter, the P or the J, is going to tell you which of the two middle letters, which will be either S or N and T or F, which one of those will be extroverted. So let's just pick out a personality. One that I love, that's my husband's. He's an ESTP. So the P means that his second letter is going to be extroverted, the S. So if the P says that his S is extroverted, that means the other letter, his T, is introverted. Okay, so great. So that means if he's an extrovert, obviously he's going to want to do the S more than the T. He does both of them, but he's going to prefer to do the extrovertedly inclined activity, obviously more than the introvertedly inclined one. So the dominant function for him is extroverted sensing. The auxiliary function is introverted thinking. But now remember the principles, ladies and gentlemen, of nature. There's a balance. So if his sensing is extroverted, that means when he does his intuiting activities, they're going to be introverted. And if the sensing is his dominant function, he loves it. He's going to hate his inferior function. Introverted intuition is a polar opposite of extroverted sensing. So then we have the feeling left over. If his thinking is introverted and it's his auxiliary function, that means his feeling is going to be extroverted and it's going to be tertiary. Okay, so again, let's summarize that. For an ESTP, the dominant function is extroverted sensing. The auxiliary function is introverted thinking. The tertiary function is extroverted feeling. And the inferior function is introverted intuition. Okay, so I'm actually going to keep that personality profile throughout the show as a frame of reference, just so that we can not have too many letters thrown out and not get too easily confused. And again, if you have a question about these things, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. And I haven't heard anything from my producer, so I trust we're good for the phone calls. And let me just refresh again on my Gmail, thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. Okay, I refreshed that and we didn't get anything there. And I'm going back to LinkedIn. And okay, good. So moving on to the next part, we've got our, the dichotomies, and we have the functional levels. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, think about this. If we're talking about the dominant function, it's like breathing. We need to know that breathing is something we have to do a lot. Actually, we have to do it all day, every day. So when we're talking about how much time should we give each of those activities, if you're awake for 16 hours a day, you need to do your dominant function, which for my husband would be extroverted sensing, for 50% of your day. That's 8 hours a day. Now think about that. I was talking to a group on Friday and I said, you genuinely need to do what is the most natural for you. That leaves 8 hours for you to do your three other level activities. How much time should you spend on your auxiliary function? You should spend 3 to 4 hours a day. He needs to spend 3 to 4 hours a day thinking in an introverted way. Okay, so now we're talking about the tertiary and inferior functions that are not his true nature, but he still has to do them. Extroverted feeling, he needs to do that 2 to 3 hours a day. And then his introverted intuition, he can only do that for 1 to 2 hours a day. Now think about that again in practical terms. If his inferior function is like running for him, yeah, you can get good at it, but you shouldn't do it for an extended period of time for two reasons. First of all, because it really does wear away at you, but in a practical way, in order to do your inferior function, you have to stop doing your dominant function. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think is most harmful to you? Not doing what you are or doing what you're not. Ah, you know what? For you, not doing what you are is suffocating you. But for other people, doing what you're not is depriving them of a gift. When you have an amazing ability, and we're going to be talking very specifically about what is extroverted sensing? What does that even mean? I'm going to have so much fun giving you examples of each different activity. Extroverted sensing, introverted intuition, extroverted feeling, introverted thinking, because until you really know what those activities are, it doesn't matter and it doesn't mean anything. What are daily life activities? If you're doing your tertiary and your inferior function that are the opposite of your dominant and your auxiliary function, it's going to be tough for you. And what I explain to people is, okay, so in terms of let's say eating. That's not automatic, but breathing is. So when you're doing the second level function that for you is like eating, you do need a motivation to start doing it, like a hunger pain. Something in your life has to tell you, okay, it's time for you to do your auxiliary function, but you don't need that for your dominant function because your body and heart and mind are telling you to do it automatically at all times. Okay, so what about your tertiary function? That's not your personality. Not only do you need motivation, because it's like walking for you, you need to have a destination, but you need compensation to keep you going to actually get there. You need motivation to start and compensation to finish. Wow, and your inferior function, that's like running. You need motivation and compensation and restoration. You need recovery time because it's not automatic for you. You're not naturally good at it and it doesn't bring you pleasure. It's actually resistant to everything that you naturally are. Okay, we're coming up on taking a break, but before we do, again, I'm going to let you know the number to the station is 888-627-6008. And the email address, if you want to pose a question, it's thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. So think about this now in your life. If you need to do your dominant function for 8 hours a day and your auxiliary function for 3 to 4 hours a day and your tertiary function for 2 to 3 hours a day and your inferior function for just 1 to 2 hours a day, how much of a change in your lifestyle would you need to make in order to get those numbers back to those ratios? Would your lifestyle afford you that opportunity? Would the people in your life give you that support? And you know what? When you're changing, we are resistant to change, but it's good for you. It's worth the effort. Just don't change too dramatically, too quickly, because you can actually send yourself into shock if you go to an extreme. Again, everything in life is about balance. And when you stay centered, emotionally and mentally healthy, you are socially encouraging and positive, and you are physically more strong. Sensing, intuition, thinking, and feeling. The world needs all of those things, but you are born with a personality so that all of the things that need to get done in the world are done in the right amounts, in the right ways, for the right reasons, in the right settings. Please, ladies and gentlemen, think about what's natural for you. Embrace it. Manifest it. When we come back, I'm going to talk about what each of those activities are, how they look and feel when they're introverted and extroverted. Thank you so much for listening today. And tell your friends and family about BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy.
Want extra income or need to work from home? You can with Work Global with Aaliyah. No experience required. Work from anywhere in the world. Go to www.workglobalwithaaliyah.com. That's Work Global with Aaliyah, Aaliyah.com.
Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, and today we're talking about doing what's natural for you, creating positive energy, synergy that's helpful and supporting other people. It's constructive. Yeah, we got to get back into a good mood. We have to do things that we're good at, and we have to enjoy it. When we know what we're doing and how to do it in a healthy way, we like our positive energy and we bring positive people into our life. We encourage and support them to be who they truly are as well. Now, I'm actually getting really excited about this because I had to get some permission from people to give personal life experiences. I've been told I'm a great storyteller, so I'm going to be using daily activities again for sensing, intuition, thinking, and feeling. If you don't know what those things even mean, then it doesn't matter if I give you your personality profile with all of the terms and a book with all of the definitions and explanations. Yeah, you're going to get a headache. So let's put it in practical and fun terms. Sensing. Let's think of some sensing activities. No, you know what? Let's think of activities and figure out if they're sensing or intuiting or thinking or feeling, because I've even told my family and my clients, look, you got to do what's natural for you. Well, but I can do things really well and they've become natural for me. Robert, the question you asked, that's exactly what we're talking about now. Yeah, you can be good at different things, but what are you most naturally good at? And if you have to change your lifestyle, because by the way, you happen to be doing the polar opposite of your personality, which my first client, the district attorney, happened to be doing, well, we can do massive changes to our lifestyle, or we can just make moderate modifications a little bit at a time. One of the great ladies that I met on Friday, she's working with kindergarten children. And it's just like, you know what? I love the children. I just hate everything else about my job. Yes, I understand, because it used to be about taking care of children and teaching them and bonding with them. Now there's a whole lot of other political and social junk that comes along with it. Now, let me go ahead and let's do, I have a list of things. Cooking. Now, keeping in mind that, again, sensing is being very aware of your environment and being interactive with your environment. How much of cooking is sensory? Yeah, you know, about 80% of it, because I love this about my husband. He has 5 hands. I don't know where in the hell they come from, but he literally can do many, many things, and he does them at the same time. He can literally go from a pan to a cutting board with a knife to the oven, and he can cut and mix and turn. And look, when I put things in the oven, the minute I close the door, I forget that they're there, but I still have to cook. Okay, so you know what? The only way I can cook is if I'm doing it as a thinking function. Yes, if I can get my cooking with how many of these do I put in, and if I did that with the timing, and if I made this meal and it was for 5 different people and I could do that. You know what? The only way, because my sensing is introverted, I'm an INTP, and I know that the only way I can get my introverted sensing going is if I infuse it into my dominant function of thinking. See, because my thinking is introverted and my sensing is introverted, let's mix them up so I can bring something that's not my personality into my personality, because I'm using my personality's skill to employ that non-personality function. See, but ladies and gentlemen, let's keep this in mind. Yeah, since it's introverted, I can't talk while I'm doing it. I swear to God, my husband listens to me better when I'm talking about the budget and our plans for tomorrow with my granddaughter and the time that we have to spend with the congregation after them. He actually hears me better when he is multitasking. Okay, that's encouraging. That's exciting. Okay, it looks like I might have a notification of something. I would have said yes. Okay, so that was something that has nothing to do with the show, so I'm not going to share it with my audience, what I just got in a message. The point is, again, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to an item, an activity that would ordinarily be considered a sensing activity, for me, it's a thinking activity. Yeah, so I have to do the sensory activity in a thinking context. Okay, so another activity that I liked to choose, just because it is a universally ubiquitous and nonstop activity, driving. Okay, how much of driving is sensing and how much of it is intuitive? No, how much of it is thinking? Okay, now I'm going to give you two different settings where you could be driving. Sometimes it's extroverted, sometimes it's introverted. When my husband is delivering food, he's not with anybody. He does better delivering food when I am with him because he has to do on his phone. I'm getting the order, I'm getting this okay. And so this is the address. He's so good with the map because he doesn't even need the map. He can look at the phone and go, you know what? They're wrong because I know how to get from here to there better. But when he's with me, he has more energy because he can talk about everything that has nothing to do with anything. But you know what? A bus driver, they have to talk to people all day throughout their whole shift. Yeah. Okay. So if we're talking about what kind of driving, is driving a feeling activity? Yeah. If you're driving a bus with children, because it's not very hard to do. It is a sensing activity, but are you doing it in a feeling or thinking way? And are you doing it for a thinking or feeling reason? That's what it takes. It's really important to know those different levels of functionality. And if you're not really good at whatever function, whatever facet of your behavior that particular activity is involved in doing, it's demanding that you do, then you say, yeah, maybe I should do the same activity just in a different setting. Okay, now you're getting to know yourself. That's wonderful. You can say, well, I like to do this kind of activity. I just need to do it in a different way or for a different reason. Okay, so I'm going to do another activity here. How about, let's see, stretching. Okay, this is another thing that I love to do. It's a big part of the reason why at 48, I still feel and act 25, because when I stretch, I am relaxing. You know what? Actually, sometimes when I'm stretching, I am getting aligned. I have to physically, almost as a workout, I have to stretch myself in certain ways. Ooh, well, sometimes I'm getting flexible. I really want to do a certain kind of activity and I need to get my flexibility back. And do you know that same activity, I can do it in three different ways for three different reasons. Now think about this. When I'm doing it in a thinking way, that's because I need to get the stretching done. So I'm looking at the clock and I'm literally timing in each position how much I'm doing. So for me, as I'm stretching, when I'm looking at the clock and I'm being an introverted thinker, I say, okay, so this one is going to make my body move better in this way for this amount of time so I can do this. And I literally don't stop thinking the whole time. Ah, okay. When I'm doing it for relaxation, I'm doing it in an intuitive way. Well, that's extroverted for me. I like to do it in front of my husband because as an extroverted, and I understand that on an intuitive level, I'm making my marriage better. That's important. And so when he's with me, because I'm doing it in an extroverted way, that gets to a different place in my soul. Okay. So for then the flexibility, the relaxation, getting aligned. Well, when I'm getting aligned, how is that thinking or feeling or sensing or intuiting? Well, you know what? For an INTP, trying to get aligned is a sensory activity because I have to be aware of my body. Well, then you know what? I need to know where my spine is. I need to know where my muscles and my joints are. Then I need to be alone because I have to be very aware of my body. If I'm doing a thinking activity, then I can't pay attention to my body. And if I'm being intuitive, I can't focus on what I have paid attention to because I'm aware of what's going on outside of my body. Wow. Okay. So even one activity for one person can be different kinds of levels if it's done in different ways and for different reasons. Ask yourself, what kind of activities do you do best? Which ones are the most natural for you? Which ones bring you the most pleasure? Well, you know what? In your life right now, how many activities are you doing that are naturally easy for you? How about your job? How much pleasure does it bring you? Do you need the motivation and the compensation? Do you need recovery time when you're done? Or is that something that you would love it if you did it? Another one of the participants in my discussion group on LinkedIn, he was a musician. And he didn't really say anything for a good part of the group time. But then he said, yeah, you know what? I want to let you know that I don't make necessarily a lot of money. I don't get a lot of glamour and glory, but I love what I do. He said, one of my favorite quotes, if you love what you do, you won't work a day in your life. But then that includes your lifestyle when you're not working. Thinking about the people in your life, if you told them, you know what, I need to do this particular activity in this way or only for this amount of time, how much would the people in your life be willing to give you in either that flexibility of time or that opportunity in your setting or the support and encouragement? You know what? I didn't even want to do it this morning. I literally said to my husband as he came out into the living room, I was stretching, and he said, okay, what are you, you're stretching. I said, you want your coffee, don't you? He said, don't do that. You need to finish stretching. I said, but I won't be able to if I don't give you your coffee. I'm going to be very distracted by you here. And he said, okay. But then when I was done, he said, okay, now you need to finish stretching. I said, okay, you have your coffee. I can go ahead and finish what I was doing. People want to love you and they want to give you what you are good at and what would make you healthy and happy. When we come back, we're going to talk about some public figures and media icons. Yeah, that we all know and refer to. Maybe we'll analyze some of them as personalities. That'll be fun too. We'll be right back after a real quick break. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio.
Want extra income or need to work from home? You can with Work Global with Aaliyah. No experience required. Work from anywhere in the world. Go to www.workglobalwithaaliyah.com. That's Work Global with Aaliyah, Aaliyah.com.
Welcome back to The Power of Synergy. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Okay, so I've been giving a lot of information today. Fortunately, these shows are archived, so if you need to go back and listen a few more times, that's okay. But again, you might want paper and pencil. Okay, so I wanted to think about examples that people would know that they could be able to relate to or remember. One of them was the movie Pretty Woman. Now, that was in the 90s. But it was seen by probably the bulk of my listeners. So interesting thing, when I was profiling the main characters, there was a man and a woman. One was a prostitute and the other one was a businessman. He would buy and sell companies, right? And so I thought, you know, it's interesting because a lot of what he said and did was very INTJ. But he wasn't really happy. So I thought, God, I want to profile this guy just for fun, right? And a lot of what she did was very ENFP. But then I thought, but she's unhappy. So maybe she's an ESFP. All right. this is interesting, because the questions that I asked at the beginning, what are you naturally good at? Edward acted very INTJ as a businessman, but you know what? He gave a few, there were a few giveaways, right? That he was actually ISTJ. Okay. One of them is that he put the glasses, he stacked the glasses on top of each other. And by the end of the show, he said, no, I don't just want to buy and sell companies. I actually want to create something. That meant he was an ISTJ, not an INTJ. One letter makes a huge difference. Okay. And let's see, Julia Roberts, she was acting very ENFP as a prostitute. Yeah, she knows how to be very caressing and soothing and seductive. But you know what? She said a few things that made me think, she was an ESFP, not an N, because first of all, she said, when I was a little girl, my mama would lock me in the attic when I was in trouble, which was a lot of the time. You know what? ENFPs don't get in trouble. They always try to do the right thing, and they feel horrible when they make people feel bad. So even when they want to be bad, they don't know how to be bad. You know, ESFPs, they're getting in trouble all the time because they're bad all the time. They're not bad people. They have every intention of not hurting people. They just don't think that being bad should hurt people. See, that's how you know. He was an ISTJ acting INTJ. And she was an ESFP. She was just acting ENFP. Oh, sorry. And I forgot to give the number again. We have a few more minutes if you want to call in and ask a question. 888-627-6008. Okay. So then another example that I like to give is Ferris Bueller. He's an ESTP like my husband. Okay. He's a troublemaker and he can get away with everything. His extroverted sensing makes him able to do things. He can literally set up his room to fool his parents to be in his room when he's not there. Do you have any idea how creative and resourceful, and they get away with things because they're extroverted and their feeling is extroverted as their tertiary function, but their thinking is introverted. So when they're thinking about what to do, they can come up with ideas when no one's around. It's just when people come around, their sensing kicks in and they can do everything. Okay, but you know what? Another character was Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible. He's an ISTP. How do I know that? Because most of what he did was alone. His sensing was still extroverted. He could do sensory things, multitasking things around other people, but the bulk of the quality work that he did was when he was thinking and when he was alone. Okay, that's an important thing to realize, that as an introvert, Ethan Hunt needed to spend most of his time preparing and planning for what he was going to do. Ferris Bueller only wanted to be alone for a little bit because the bulk of his energy was when he was out doing the things that he had planned very briefly. Now, does that matter? Yeah, it matters, because when we have an experience in our life and we say, okay, I'm going to make the best of experience, how about you just have the experiences that you're the best at? Okay, so I'm going to give another example. Here we go. Danny and Sandy. Everybody has seen Grease. Okay. Sandy was an ISFJ, right? She was very SJ because she was very much about always doing the right thing, but she was a feeler. She knew about other people and she never wanted to hurt anybody's feelings, but she was an introvert. She didn't want to be with people too much. Yeah. And Danny, he was an SP. He was the center of attention and he could get everything done that he wanted to get done. And he was charismatic, but he still was a very sensitive guy. Yeah, that's important. He was a feeler, but his sensing, since his P, right, made his sensing extroverted, that was still his dominant function. Okay, now that's important to remember, because as an ISFJ, wow, Sandy, her dominant function would be introverted, but the J made her feeling extroverted. So it was her sensing that was dominant. Her introverted sensing was dominant and her extroverted feeling was auxiliary. Ah, so both of them had feeling as their auxiliary function. That brought them together and it made them a great couple. Think about who you would do well with. What do you do well being? Yeah, again, when we're talking about what's important for you, you have to do what is natural, what is easy, what is pleasurable, what you do well. And it needs to be something that you don't have to deny people because of your lifestyle. You need to have the availability and the flexibility to say to people, yeah, you want me to give you my greatest gift, my dominant function? I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm able, and I'm available to you because there's more joy in giving than in receiving. When you know that what you're giving people is very high quality, the quality of your soul, the positive energy that you bring to them makes them exponentially better. And the great thing about that is you're allowing them to be who they are organically too, so that even after they've left you, when they've gone somewhere else to do something else, they maintain that positive energy. And positive energy always conquers negative energy. Now, there was a lot that I told you today. So what I decided to do this week, actually tomorrow, is a webinar about maximizing your functionality. Ordinarily, my webinars are $100, but I'm giving a 70% discount to anybody who really does want to know the specifics. And if they have questions, maybe they're thinking about the things that they do in their life and they're saying, I don't necessarily know what it is, or I'm pretty sure what it is and I'm not liking it. Can I do it in a different way for my true nature, something that is more organic for me? Yeah, if I'm stretching, I need to do it in a more intuitive way. If I'm cooking, I need to do it in a more sensory way. Yeah, I'll be covering all of those things as well. So if you go to www.synergyrelationshipcoaching.com, you can go to the page where you look at all of the different activities that I do. I do coaching groups, I do webinars, you can get the books, actually, a couple of them, and make sure you get on the $30, 70% off. Again, if you ever want to ask a question, the email that you can send your questions to is thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. And BBS Radio, the station, the number, if you ever want to listen to another show or mine, you can call in. It's 888-627-6008. Three things, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, there is no neutral energy. You're either positive or you're negative. Number two, you have power to change people's lives. Power comes with responsibility. That's about accountability. And positive energy will always conquer negative energy. Just stay the course, hold your ground, and know that the positive energy you create is the source of your synergy. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio.